Take God's word this morning and turn, if you would, to the book of Joshua, the Old Testament book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. It's my great thrill this morning to be able to introduce to you the theme for the new year and to see how God is going to work in our own individual lives, but also to see how God is going to work here within our own church family. And praise the Lord for this opportunity. So Joshua chapter 1, and we come now to verse number 1 down through verse number 5. Follow along and listen carefully, if you would, at verse number 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to look into your word and listen and hear what you have for us from this passage of scripture. What a challenge you gave to Joshua to take the people of Israel and lead them on into the promised land. You wanted them to go forward. And so, Father, I trust that you would challenge us with that same thought. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Australian coat of arms pictures two animals, the emu and the kangaroo. And the animals were chosen because they share a characteristic that simply appealed to the Australian citizens. Both of the emu and the kangaroo can only move forward, not backward. There's a reason for that. The emu, for instance, has a three-toed foot that causes it to fall when it tries to go backwards. And the kangaroo is prevented from going backwards because of its large tail. And so those two creatures were designed by God to, if you would, to move forward, not backward. And in the passage of scripture before us, Joshua is commissioned by God to go forward and to lead the people of Israel onto Canaan land. And here is the truth, that if he had failed to do so, the blessings of God would not be realized for him or for any of the children of Israel, because God had already given them Canaan land, but they had to go forward and they had to lay claim to that which was provided to them by God. God promised them, I will drive out the enemy, but you still have to go forward. And I think about how at times in our life that many blessings are not realized simply because we fail to go forward and claim that which God has given to us. For instance, God has promised that he has given to us victory. He has not designed our Christian life to be one of living in defeat, but rather he has designed it that we live in victory. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you could say, I always live in victory? Truth of the matter is, we don't always live there, but that's not God's fault, if you would. It always lays upon us because we have to continually to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he has laid it out there, you can live in victory. And the Bible says, now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Jesus Christ. And so today, I want to challenge you with a new theme for the year, and that is, as you see it on the screen here, forward, to go forward. Joshua was to lead them forward. Now notice with me, if you would, in verse number 1. The Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Moses had this great opportunity to, one, having himself lived in Egypt, he himself could have stayed there and enjoyed all the pleasures of Egypt, but he chose not to. He chose rather to live for God. He, if you would, had left Egypt, then had spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, and then God had called him to go back to Egypt and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Well, that is exactly what he did, and what a great accomplishment that was. It was not an easy accomplishment. He had to stand before Pharaoh and talk about the 10 plagues and so forth, and all of that was used by God to finally get Pharaoh to say, the people may depart. And they departed, Moses being their leader, and Moses along the way, this crowd was a million plus people that he was leading. So we're not talking about like a small church, Calvary Baptist Church. We're talking about, if you would, a big congregation of people of at least a million people. So when you think about this, this was a big accomplishment to lead this gang out of Egypt and get them moving toward Canaan land. Now, because Moses disobeyed God, he had smote the rock twice. It was only to be smitten once, but God had, if you would, punished him. He was only able to see Canaan from afar, but he was not allowed to take them on into Canaan land. So we find, though, that there came a time when Moses passed away. Moses is now dead, and the Bible says that Moses had the title, the servant of the Lord. In just a little while, we'll have opportunity to vote in for new officers here in our church, and we have different titles for these individuals and so forth. But may I say to you, church family, that one of the greatest things that can be said about any of us is exactly what it was said about Moses, that he was a servant of the Lord. And so many times people can get hung up on titles. Moses was declared by God simply to be a servant of the Lord. Well, now God also, knowing that one leader was going to go off the scene, a new one was already being prepared, and Joshua had the opportunity, if you would, to be like Moses' right-hand man along the way. He learned much from Moses. But now Moses is off the scene. Joshua now has to step up to leadership. And in verse number 2, here is what God says to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So now God is commissioning Joshua, and he is saying, Joshua, it's time to go forward. It's time now to arise where you are and go from this point and go over this Jordan and lead these people on into Canaan land. In fact, he says to him, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. I haven't changed my promise. I haven't changed my mind. This is your land. This is your possession. You can grab hold of it. It is yours, but you must lead the people over this Jordan on into Canaan land. And we find that it was time for him to do that. And so then we see in verse number 4 that the capacity that Joshua experiences. Notice this. He gives him a description of all of the land in verse number 4. And then he says in verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. That as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Good encouragement for a new leader. Good encouragement and a good promise to rest on. Yes, Moses, whom you highly respected, is now dead. He's off the scene. But Joshua, this is your moment. This is your time to lead them. But I want you to know, Moses or Joshua, that I will give you my presence as I was with Moses. So I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to turn away from you. I will be with you. And then he says, I will give you the promise of my power that I will not fail thee. I'm going to go before you and drive out the enemy. You folks have got to follow. You've got to lead the children of Israel on into Canaan land. And so we find in the book of Joshua, which we will study here in the next couple of months, you will find that Joshua was to go forward. And that word go is found 27 times in the book of Joshua. And God wasn't interested, if you would, in Joshua leading the children of Israel backwards. He wanted them to go forward. And may I say, in our own personal lives, that God wants you as an individual believer to go forward in your Christian life. He doesn't want you just to be all right where you're at. He doesn't want you to be going back. He wants you to keep advancing. He wants you to keep going forward. And thus the theme of this year simply is that of going forward. Going forward in the will of God. And we find in this context, for Joshua, it was time now to lead the children of Israel forward. Now, as you will learn in chapter 1, that it didn't take them long to grab hold of that and say, we're going to follow you. We're going to do what God is directing you to do and to lead us and to guide us. And they were able to begin to experience victories after victories after victories simply because they moved forward. And so let me share with you this morning some things here that will help all of us as we seek to go forward this year. First of all, let me say this. Now is the time to go forward. I put the emphasis on the word now because the Bible does. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. To be sure, we need to plan. I get all of that. But there is a time in our Christian life when we have to realize that now is the time to do things. Have you ever just said to yourself, I know you have, as I have, you know, one day I'm going to do this. One day I'm going to do that. And have you ever just kind of slapped yourself and said, well, why not do it now? Why not just simply do it now? What is keeping me from doing some of these things now? And for Joshua, now was the time for them to go forward. God would give him promises. God would show him the path to success. But now was the time for him to go forward. And now is the time for us to go forward. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse number 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And so now is the time. Not looking at tomorrow I'll do this, tomorrow I'll do this, tomorrow I do this. When it comes to this matter of living for God, now is the time to do it. Now is the time to go forward. And as we think of that this morning, I want to challenge you to go forward and grow in new areas this year. You notice in verse number 3 of the text again, he says to them that every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. In other words, they have come this far by faith, but now they're going to have to continue to move forward by faith. And as they did, and as they would do that, we find that God said, every place that your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. It's going to be a new area for you. For instance, the first thing that he prepares them to do is to cross the Jordan River. Now, we're going to learn about this, but the banks of that Jordan River were overflowing. And so it's one thing to just cross a normal river, but this Jordan River was overflowing its banks. And so think about this. God said, all right, here's a way that this is going to happen. And you'll find that much like the Red Sea, the waters were able to part. You'll find that they were able to put stones in that river. They were able to cross that river. And then that river again closed itself. But that in itself was like some new area, new territory for them to go into and to claim. They get over on the other side, and boy, it doesn't take them long to realize, you know, God is able to do and continue to do great and mighty things. And so this year I want you to think about, what are some new areas in your life that you can go forward and grow in? In your own personal life, let's look at some things. Now, you could probably add more to this, but these are just some things that come to my mind. One, for some of you, you could go forward and just say, I'm going to be more faithful to church. For some of you, you could say, you know what, I'm going to start coming at 9:30 in the morning. Bring my children with me. I'm going to be here at 9:30. I'm going to hear the Word of God being taught in a small group setting and be able to have some interactivity on the adult level, on the teen level, bringing in the children, and say, you know what, I could grow in that area. Or I come Sunday morning, but you know, I could come back on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Or if you come already on Sunday night, you could say, you know what, I'm going to come on Wednesday night at 7. Here is what I'm saying to you, that some of you could say, you know, in this area, I could grow more in the area of being faithful to church. It's interesting. Actually, it's sad. It's not interesting, other than interesting to know what the reasons are. But over 1,000 churches a year in America close their doors. Now think about that. I'm just not talking about Baptist churches. I'm talking about churches of any stripe. 1,000 churches a year close their doors. And when you consider that, could it be because part of the reason people said, you know, it's just not that important for me to be faithful? In fact, I read some time ago where it was stated this, that your absence from church is a vote to close its doors. Now you think about that. Now, most people wouldn't say, well, I don't want the church to close. But I wonder if those 1,000 churches a year that close, if that is some of the reason, because people said, you know, it's not that important. Now, for me personally, I love church. I don't know about you. I love to be at church. It was something that was ingrained in me when I was a boy. Every time the doors were open, I was in church. If we had revival meetings, I was at church. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, Dad said, hey, guys, you got an option. If you want to go, you can go. If you don't want to go, you don't have to go. Well, we didn't have that option. But I never looked at it as like, oh, man, I got to go to church again. I was just there last Sunday. Why do I go to again? I mean, one Sunday a month is good enough for me. No, I mean, I loved being at church. Why? Because here's what I know. Of this precious book, there is so much to learn. And just to gather with God's people and to pray, to worship God together, to sing the praises of God together, to give together, I mean, there is just something to be able to say, I love my church. Because the church is who? The church is you and me. And you think about our Savior. He loved us so much, the church, that He died and gave Himself for it. And if He was willing enough to die for it, then we ought to be willing enough to live for it. Amen? We ought to be willing enough to say, I'm going to live and just say, I want this year to grow in this particular area in my life. I once was more faithful than I am now. But I want to get back to that area of faithfulness and just grow in that area and move forward. It may be for some of you, you need to grow in the area of your Bible reading. Now you say, why would you mention that? Because if you look at verse number 8 of Joshua chapter 1, you will see that God says part of your success, Joshua, is going to be linked to the Word of God. Part of your success going forward is that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You're to meditate in it day and night. You're to give yourself over to it, Joshua. And as you do, then you're going to be able to experience good success. Now listen carefully, and I say this because I love you. I say to you this morning, I haven't met a believer yet who has been successful spiritually ignoring the word. I haven't met one yet. Because if you're going to be successful spiritually, if you're going to grow spiritually, that success, that growth is tightly knit to the Word of God. Over and over and over throughout Scripture, we see the emphasis upon being in the Word of God. Now you say, well, do I have to read 3 chapters a day? No, the Bible doesn't say how many chapters to read. It doesn't say how much time you have to do it. As far as, well, I got to spend 1 hour doing it every day, it's not saying that either. But the Bible is given to us to tell us of who God is. The Bible is given to us to tell us how that we can grow. And I'm encouraging you this year, for some of you, it may be that the area that you go forward in is simply taking the Word of God and saying, I'm going to read the Word of God more and learn of it more. And I think about, again, that Bible reading plan I have back there for you. You may use something like that where you can read the Bible, the New Testament through in 90 days. And think of something like that or choose your own plan, but get yourself into the Word of God. Some could go forward in the avenue of prayer. Oh, I think about how on many times the Word of God talks about the subject of prayer. How many of you could say, now don't raise your hand, but you could say, I could really grow in the area of prayer. Prayer is so commanded in the Word of God. All throughout, pray, pray, pray without ceasing. And so some could say, you know, I need to go forward and be a person of prayer this year. For some, it could be to go forward in the area of your giving. I touched on that earlier this morning about the importance of the tithe and giving to missions and so forth. Again, it's not because God says you do it and I'll make you rich, but God says you obey me in this area and I'll bless you. I will make sure that you are taken care of and your needs are taken care of. It's a joy to be able to give to the Lord. One of the reasons I give to missions, quite frankly, I wish I could give more, but I think about how that as I give to missions and I read these missionary letters that our missionaries send us, and I read of people being saved, and I read of buildings being built and new ministries being established. Our brother in Cambodia, since he has been there for several years now, has started over 9 churches, has got a college going there. It's just a very, very fruitful ministry. But just to know that the missions giving that I give toward Dad on a weekly basis, I think about then how that is so encouraging to realize, hey, we have a part in that through our missions giving. We have the opportunity to see that work and that family being blessed where they are. It's exciting to be able to give, is what I'm simply telling you. And some of you, I want to encourage you to step up and move forward in that area and say, you know what, I'm going to do that. For some of you, it could be go forward and grow in the new area of baptism. You've been saved, you know the Lord is your Savior, but you've never yet taken that step of baptism. Baptism doesn't save, but baptism is a step of obedience after one gets saved. And once you are saved, then that step of obedience, as we saw just a couple of weeks ago, 2 young boys saying, you know, here is my salvation testimony. Now I want to be, just show the world that I want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus and being baptized. And for some of you, that could be a step that you go forward and grow in this year. Then I think about this one. How for some, it could be I'm going to go forward and grow in the area of service. You see, when you think about church, it could be whatever, so to speak, you want it to be. What I mean by that, you'll get out of church as much as you put into it. If you just are content coming to church, hearing the sermon, go home, come back, do it all over again next Sunday, that's between you and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus taught us this. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's been my joy recently to take some people through our new membership class. And one of the things I enjoy doing is to give them the spiritual gifts test, so to speak. And they fill that out, and it's exciting to talk with them and see where God has spiritually gifted them, or at least believe that God has gifted them in some areas. Why is that important? Because some of you in this church have the gift of teaching. Some of you have the gift of giving. Some of you have the gift of mercy and so forth. And with all of these spiritual gifts that God has given to us, God wants us to know what those gifts are so that we can effectively serve Him and use our gifts to advance the church. And so as you think about that, this year I'm going to encourage you to say, you know, I don't want to just come to Calvary Baptist Church. I want to find an area of service that I can serve in, be it food distribution once a quarter, working in the nursery, helping usher, help clean the buildings, whatever it may be, but an area that God is just impressing upon your heart. Why? Because it's the old adage, teamwork makes the dream work, and we work together and we move forward together and serving the Lord. It's a joy to me to come alongside you and to serve with you here in this place. You want to know why it's exciting? Because I get to see you serve and to hear of the, and to see of the blessings that come as you are serving. To have you say to me, you know, man, it's just exciting to see the ministry I'm involved in growing, and to hear of your own life, how you are growing in a particular area. Because you're saying to yourself, you know, it's not going to be about me. It's going to be about using the gifts and talents God has given me and to go forward and grow and use my gifts and talents for Him. And so this year, be it a teenager, be it an adult, to say, you know, I'm going to find an area that I can use my gifts and talents in and serve the Lord in this place. And it's not about the glitz and the glamour, but it's just simply the opportunity to serve Him. And so I want to challenge you this year to go forward and grow in new areas, one in your personal life, but then let me share this, go forward and grow in new areas in our church life. There is a theme, you may or may not know it, to our church, and that simply is this, love, grow, and reach. Love God, grow in grace, reach others. To bring people into a saving and growing relationship with God, who love God, who grow in grace, and reach others. And so this year, I want us to, in our church life, to grow one in the area of loving God. Now, I suppose there are several ways we could express that. But one of the emphases that I want us to emphasize this year, and it's not glamorous, and sometimes when people hear it, it's like, oh, really? You want me to do that? But it is this, because God blesses this area in loving Him, and that is in the area of prayer. This past Wednesday night, I began a series on prayer, that when I say Father, because God is called our Father, and so what happens when we call out to our Father in prayer? Because you see, church, if we are going to go forward, one of the great ways to go forward is to go forward on our knees, crying out to God, seeking His face, not following our direction, but following the leadership of God moving forward, asking Him for His direction, and to love God and expressing that through the avenue of prayer. And so this year, there will be some prayer emphasis throughout the year where we will have some concerts of prayer, where we will have some times when that's all that we do. We just focus on crying out to God and seeking His face. Again, I would say to you, that's not oftentimes glamorous. When most pastors call for a prayer meeting, guess what? Sometimes it can be a low-attended meeting. But I'm telling you, if you call for food, come on now, you with me? Yeah, when you call for food, people show up. So maybe what we'll do, maybe we should just add some food to our prayer meetings. I don't know. But what I'm saying to you, church, all kidding aside, prayer is so important. Prayer is so vital to a life of any church. I could take you through the history of churches. In fact, I don't have to go very far. Just in your Bibles, if you were to read the book of Acts, you will see that that early church was given over to prayer. When the church prayed, they were able to speak the word of God with boldness. When the church prayed, God was able to use them in witnessing and telling others of Christ. When the church prayed, they were able to see God greatly provide. The point is this, is that God blesses a church that prays. Let me give you a recent example of that. A few years ago, there is a church in Brooklyn, New York. I have been to that church with our teenagers, probably about 10 years ago or so. But this pastor of that church, when he first went there, it was an old, dilapidated type building. It was just basically falling down. And he went there with a rather big auditorium and just a handful of people. I believe it was about 30 people. He and his wife just got in there and tried to do what they could do. And after a while, he got so discouraged. And he said, you know, I give up on this. I can't do this anymore. I don't know why, God, you call me to such a big city to pastor just 30 people in this huge building. I don't get what you're trying to do here. It's a fascinating story if you read his book about it. So he and his wife had gone away on a vacation to Florida. Can you imagine vacationing in Florida right now? All God's people said, amen, yeah. But think about it. They went down there, and he already pretty much said, you know, this is over, I'm done. But God began to convict his heart about something. He says, here's the answer. He says, Jim, I want you to go back, and I want you to teach the people how to pray. Well, today, that group of 35 people is a church that runs in the thousands. And it is a church that every Tuesday night when they come together, it simply is a prayer meeting. When I took the teenagers there on that Tuesday night, on the auditorium doors before you enter, it says this: please be respectful as you enter. People are already in the spirit of prayer. Now, if you were to listen to the man preach, he is not that eloquent of a preacher, and he knows that. But over the years, he says, I see now that the key to all of this is for me to lead the church, that we get back to the practice of prayer. Oh, to be sure, they teach the Word of God, they preach the Word of God, but the thing that stands about this church is simply that they've given themselves over to prayer, and God has blessed. Now, I'm not saying that if we do that, then God's going to cause us to run in the thousands. I'm not saying that. But I do know this, that if we'll be given over to prayer, God will bless Calvary Baptist Church. Sometimes we think about all the kinds of organizations that we could do to it, but I tell you, quite frankly, we just simply need to go forward and say we're going to be a church known as, and it's really not a novel idea, but we're going to be known as a church that prays. I think about what Jesus says. My house should be called the house of what? Preaching? He says, my house should be called the house of prayer. And church, let it be this year that we band together and we come together and we simply pray. It's not glamorous, but I believe that's an area that God blesses. The second way that I want us to see go forward this year is not only in loving, but also in growing. Growing in grace. And beside this, I would say to you, and I'm going to use two words, and in essence, we already have it going, but small groups. We have a 9:30 hour on every Sunday morning. Brother Glenn teaches a class right now on the riches and who we are in Christ, a good study for you to grab hold of. Presently, I'm teaching the teenagers, and then our children have classes as well. So in these opportunities, we're able to grow as a church. It's my plan down the road, as we are able to have the room to do it, is to be able to have more small groups going on 9:30 on Sunday morning, where you can get together and we could have a financial kind of class. We could have a class on parenting and so forth. Things where you are living. Places, if you would, things and ideas and topics that you are living out in your own personal life. But there are great potential before us. But we already have, if you would, it in motion. We just want to expand upon it, and so to move forward and grow in grace. Don't rob yourself short by just, if you would, coming 10:30 on Sunday morning. Give yourself another hour and say, you know what, I'm going to be here. I'm going to bring my family. We're going to learn more of the Word of God. We're going to take in the Word of God. We're going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. The Bible teaches us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And then in this year, we want to go forward in our church life, not only loving God through prayer, not only growing in grace through our small groups, but also going forward in the area of reaching others. This year, and I've already got some of this, Lord willing, set into motion, that is to get a van route running and reaching children and teenagers and bringing them in. God did not, if you would, give us the van to let us sit in the barn out here. Let's go out here and say, hey, there's boys and girls, there's teenagers that we can bring in and on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, and reaching more. As we reach the children, we're able to reach the families. We have some families here today as a result of coming in on the van at some point in their life. Right in front of me here is Josh, and up there is his father. But where did it all start? A few years ago when Pastor Chris was running the van out to their area and picking them up, bringing them in. And then eventually Kevin gets saved and baptized in our church. I'm telling you, they are a living proof, living product for us that shows us that it pays, if you would, to go out and bring children and teenagers in to hear the Word of God and helping them grow. And though we do not have a youth pastor, may I say that this kind of ministry, so to speak, doesn't need a youth pastor to go forward in. There's a couple of guys already that I have been talking with about this, but getting that van route running again, bringing in boys and girls and teenagers from our community and beyond and bringing them in to hear the Word of God. And so this year, going forward, reaching out in that area, going forward and reaching out by placing video recordings of the sermons on the website, and then as we're able to do Facebook Live. Why would we want to do that? Just to make our sound men busy? No, they have approached me. They have a burden for that. I'm in with them on that. We'll just have to get a few tools to help make that move forward. But it gives us an opportunity as a church. One, some Sunday you're not able to be here. You can tap into it, particularly if we go Facebook Live. But until we get there, you'll be able to, if you missed last Sunday, you'll be able to go to the website, be able to see a video recording of the sermon there, and possibly even of the service. But reaching more people, not just for us, but reaching beyond the doors of our building here and reaching out into our community to reach more people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of all of that. And then also to go forward and reach out this year and go all out this year and reach as many people as we can. Now listen, the next big Sunday in the life of any church in America is Easter Sunday. April 21st will be Easter Sunday this year. And I want us to go all out this year and do all that we can to reach as many people as we can with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. Not just Easter Sunday, but beyond that, we'll have some other special emphasis Sundays, but on that one, we really want to just go all out and reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then church, to continue what we have been doing, such as the Gaines Halloween outreach in October, our Harvest Sunday, our Patriotic Sunday. Not if you would to just, if you would, scale back, but to say, no, we're going to continue to go forward. We're not going to just sit back and wait for something to happen, but we're going to go forward. Because as you relate this back to the text, Joshua could not just sit back and say, well, man, I just hope we get that promised land. No, God said hoping isn't going to get it done. God said, Joshua, you lead them. I'll drive out the enemy. I'll provide for you. And he trusted God all along the way, and as he did so, he was able to see God provide for them. And they were able to go on into the Canaan land. And so I want you to notice now, as I wrap this up, go to verse number 4 and verse number 5, and we'll be through with this. In verse number 4 and 5, particularly I want you to go to back to verse number 4, or verse 5, excuse me. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so here we see the third point, and that is this. We need to go forward this year with confidence in God. Confidence in God. That God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Yes, we will ask him in prayer. Yes, we will ask him to do big things. Yes, we will seek his face throughout the year in the spirit of prayer. Yes, we will reach out in some other areas. But as we do so, we need to go forward with confidence in God, wait upon his leadership in areas, but just watch God provide and do great and mighty things. These people would go forth in this passage of Scripture, and they would do and see God do great things. But they had to do what? They simply had to take a step of faith. The theme chorus, forward by faith. And by faith this year, I'm challenging you in a personal areas of your life and also on a church level, that we just simply go forward by faith with confidence in God. And so as you think about this theme this morning, will you go forward in your personal life and grow in some areas this year? Will you go forward in your church attendance, your Bible reading, your prayer, giving, baptism, service, or some other areas that the Holy Spirit of God is impressing upon your heart, but go forward in your personal life? 2018 is history. But we move forward this year. I want to encourage you to go forward in your personal life and grow this year. Then also, go forward and grow with your church through loving and growing and reaching others. And then will you go forward this year with confidence in God? Let's go forward by faith. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to lay out before the church this particular theme that you've laid upon my heart a few months ago. We go forward, and we go forward by faith. We go forward with confidence in you. And Father, I look forward to what you have in store for us this year. and how that we can grow in these areas of loving you and growing in the area of grace and going forward this year and reaching others. Father, you may have some things planned that you haven't, that we haven't even dreamed of yet and even thought of yet. So help us to follow you, but help us to go forward. Help us not to sit still, but help us to move forward and see you do great and mighty things through our lives this year. In the life of this church, may we reach more people than we've ever reached before in the history of our church. Father, you're able. May we be available vessels fit for your use. In Jesus' name I pray.